Tonight's Bible reading comes from Luke 15:11-32. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied. "Your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. His father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even the youngest goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, has come home, you killed the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and was found." This is God's word.
I have never preached on this passage in Australia. I've heard it a few times, one of my favourite stories, but never actually preached it in Australia all the time I was pastoring, except in Lebanon maybe about 6 months ago or so. And so I just felt like, you know what, I want to speak on that to us this evening. And I know some of you are familiar with it, but I pray that God will open it up afresh. Maybe we see some things we didn't see before, that God wants to hone in and speak to each of us individually. So I want you to be open. Say, "God, really speak to me through this passage afresh and speak to me directly what you want me to hear and to do." Father, in Jesus' name, speak to us. Reveal to us your word. And reveal it specifically to each one of us in a powerful way, that it causes us to act and obey you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message is The Two Lost Sons, because I believe that the two sons are lost. One seems lost, the other one doesn't. But when you really look at it, they are both lost. And I'm just going to do a very simple devotion type. We go through verses and just look at one by one and just glean some things from it. And we're just, you know, just heart-to-heart communication here tonight. Verse 11 and 12. It says, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So the father divided his property between them. In that culture of the day, you did not say to your father, give me my share while he was alive. That was saying, I wish you were dead, that I don't care about you, that you mean nothing to me, and that you no longer have control over my life. It is shameful. It is disrespectful. It is really putting your father down. It is really showing lack of love and care for your father. You did not leave the home back then. There was no TV show called Home and Away. You did not leave the home. In actual fact, you got married and you brought her to your parents' house and you lived either upstairs or downstairs or with the family or next door somewhere. You didn't just get up and go unless there was a famine and you were forced to go for a good reason to work or to do. But back then, everybody stayed together in community. To say, I want my share and I'm leaving was shameful, disrespectful, spitting in your father's face. And he had the audacity to say, give me my share. In that culture, a father would say, get lost. When I die, you'll have your share. You're not getting a cent. But this is not a normal father. It's a picture of the Heavenly Father who gives you freedom, who releases you, who says to you, I want you to be with me because you want to be with me. I will not force you. I will not make you. Even though the father gave him his inheritance because he's a loving father, knowing that this son is going to go and lose it all, knowing that this son is going to be in danger, that he might even lose his own life as a young man, going out like that. Of course, he wasn't going to a monastery to pray and seek the Lord. The passage tells us he went out to equivalent of Las Vegas. In that time, it would have been Las Vegas. And he went there to live wildly. He went there to be independent and to go for his pleasures. Verse 13. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set off to a distant country, and there he wasted his wealth in wild living. It says he left to a distant country. To a distant country. When you're unhappy with your parents, you want to go as far as you can, correct? Like, I'm going out back, whatever. You want to go because you just don't want them to be near you. You can't stand them. You wish they weren't around, and so you go as far as possible where there's no even telephones maybe. They might not reach you there. And this son wanted to go away to a distant place. Also, friends, when you want to sin, when you want to do the wrong thing, you don't want anyone to see you. You don't want anyone to know about it. You want to go as far as possible, and that's what he did. He went to a distant country. And there, he didn't multiply his wealth. He didn't add to his wealth. It says he what? He wasted his wealth. Wealth that has been worked hard by the father. Wealth that the father has put his life into to gain for him, for his sons. And this guy who thinks he knows it all takes the money and wastes it all. I wonder how many Christians are aware of God's goodness, of God's love and wealth and kindness and generosity to them. Are you aware of how God has been good to you, how He has gifted you, how He has given you talents, how He has given you inheritances, possessions, parents, loved ones, a church? Are we aware of how good God has been to us? Because you see, there comes a time where some of us will turn our back on God and we'll take whatever He's given us And we think that we've got it because we are like that. No, no, no. What you have is because God has been kind and generous to you. You didn't earn it. We take it and we go distant, far from the church, far from God, far from people who love God even. And we waste all the good things that God has given us. We waste it. We waste our youth. We waste our strength. We waste our days and our life on worthless things, as we see in this passage. This young man wasted his life on wild living. Verse 14, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. It says what? He spent everything. He became broke, and he ran out of everything. Even friends who once enjoyed his company and hanged out with him and played footy and went out to the nightclubs are now no longer there. He wasted. And it says he spent everything. But now everything has disappeared. And on top of all that, it says there was a famine, severe famine in that land. Friends, when you leave God, you will experience a famine, a spiritual famine, a love famine, a grace famine. Many people don't understand how secure God has made you, how loved and cushioned you are, how good God has made you and provided for you. But when you go out and leave Him, you will realize how horrible it is out there. There is a famine. A famine will hit. And a famine for God, a famine for His Spirit, a famine for His Word, a famine for His presence in your life. There will be a time when the party will be over. Your situation will change around you. Suddenly, it says he began to be in need. He began to be in need. And you will begin to be in need without God. You see, He is the only one who meets our need. Tough times will come, and blessed are you who is close to God. Blessed are you when you're walking with God, and you don't give up on God. You don't turn your back on God, because tough times will come. But woe to the person who is not walking with God. Verse 15, so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his field to feed pigs. In that word, he went and hired himself to feed pigs. He became a hired servant, while before he was the one who was hiring servants. He worked for a very rich father, for a gracious, loving father. Now he's like a slave for someone. Feeding pigs. He went from the highest to the lowest of lowest. The worst job you can do. In that culture, he was defiling himself. He was defiling his faith. He was bringing shame to himself. You couldn't be worse. You couldn't be doing a worse job. And that's what happens when we turn our back on God. We fall from the heights to the very lowest. And this young man was now at the lowest of lowest. Not just feeding the pigs, but he was eating with the pigs, friends, in the lifestyle that was sinful. He is now feeding pigs. The guy had dropped so low. Verse 16. He longed to fill his stomach with the pieces that the pigs were eating, with the food that the pigs were eating. Can you imagine? But no one gave him anything. Friends, so many people are longing for love. They're longing for meaning. They're longing for purpose. They're longing for friendships. They're longing for peace. They're longing for forgiveness. But but no one will give them anything because no one has it except God. And not a holiday, not a friend, not a job will give you what you really long for. And this guy, he longed. He was starving like all people will starve when they're not with God. So many people fall into that trap, even Christians who taste God, and then they realize that I want to go and check the world out. I want to go and see what's out there. I'm sure it's more fun, and it's got so many exciting things there that I need to go and check it out. No one can give you what only God can give. Verse 17. But then it says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And I'm starving to death. This is the condition of most people today. People, friends, are starving to death out there. They're starving. They look like they've got it, but they're starving to death. As I said this morning, Jesus said they are naked, wretched, pitiable, poor, because they do not have Christ. And this guy was starving to death. When he came to his senses, I love that word, he realized, how many of my father's hired servants have it so much better than I do? How good my father is. How wonderful my father is. How awesome my father is. That even the hired servants have a better life than I do. Friends, you don't know how good you have it in God. But when he came to his senses, and I love this word, he came to his senses. Many people never come to their senses. You only come to your senses when you come to God. You only come to your senses when you realize how God is good and how sinful you are. He came to his senses. This is a beautiful place to be. Many people stay in the pigsty, living in sin, in pride, in lust, in sexual immorality, in the pigsty of life, in anger, in bitterness, in unforgiveness, in pornography, you name it. They stay in that pigsty until they come to their senses. They stay rejecting the Lord till they come to their senses. And so many friends end up losing their marriages, their children, their dignity, their health, their life, because they stay in that condition. Even though they might be in a church setting, even though they might be attending church services, but they know they're living in a pigsty of life. Now, why do you think many people stay in that condition? Why do many people not come to their senses? Well, I believe one of them is because they're blinded by Satan and they're deceived by his lies, that God wouldn't forgive them, that God is not better, that God doesn't care, that God doesn't exist. Deception after deception. Another reason why people stay like that is because they refuse to admit that they are sinners. They're filled with pride and do not want to admit. Because many of them, they want to keep on living in sin. Jesus said, many do not come to the light because they love the darkness more than the light. And they think that they have it better. And I tell you, that's a lie that keeps you chained, that keeps you in sin. Here I am, starving to death. Friends, if you don't come back home to God, you will perish. Not only starve to death, but people who refuse to repent and come to God will perish, as the Bible says. But this guy came to his senses and he realized how the hired servants that worked for his father were so much better off living in abundance, while him being away from the Father was causing him to perish. So he came to his senses by realizing all these things. And what does he do? Verse 18. I will set out and go back to my Father, and I will say to him, verse 18, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. It's a powerful verse right here, guys. I will set out and I'll go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Friends, he got up and went to his father. Here we see what true repentance is all about. Here we see what true returning to God is all about. Here we see how a person can be changed. What does he do? He decides to get up out of the pigsty. Here we see that he's coming to his senses. It's not just realizing his condition, but he did something about it. Number one, he decided to get up out of the pigsty, and he decided to go back to the Father. Friends, you've got to realize I'm in a pigsty of a life, and I need to get up out of it, and I need to go to the Father, back to the Father. And that's what he does. And these are the steps of restoration, the steps of forgiveness. And he says, then he says, he confesses his sin to the Father. He says, I have sinned before you and before heaven. And that confession is not just saying, oh, you know, I've sinned against you. It's a real heart confession of sin and repentance. And this guy does that. He does it with all his heart. Friends, this is the kind of attitude that each one of us must have. Even as followers of Jesus, we need to be a people who can get up and say, Father, when we've blown it, when we've done the wrong thing, when we've watched the wrong thing, when we've said the wrong thing, when we've acted the wrong way, we need to quickly say, Father, I have sinned before you. I'm sorry, Father. I do not take it lightly. Forgive me, Father. And go back to God. Don't run from God, but run to God. And if you learn to do that, if we learn to do that, that is something the enemy cannot defeat you. When you humble yourself before God, he will lift you up. And you'll be able to defeat whatever sin that comes your way. Verse 20. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Do you hear that? This is God. What does he do to a son that has shamed him, disrespected him, taken his inheritance, has smashed his name in the ground, has shamed him in the country? Everybody's speaking about him. What does he do? Takes revenge, judges him, beats him. What does he do, friends? It says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. How did the father respond? In an unbelievable way that only God would respond. What did the father do? The father saw his son. I just want you to know that no matter how far you are, while you're even sitting here, some of you, you may be far from God, but he sees you. He knows. He knows where you're at. He knows how far you are. His eyes are on you, but they're eyes of love. They're eyes of compassion. Their eyes are calling you, come home. Come home, daughter. Come home, son. Don't stay in that pigsty of being far from me. They're not eyes of judgment. But I want to tell you, if you don't come to him and you keep living that way, then his eyes turn to eyes of blazing fire and of judgment at the end if you don't repent and come to him. Not only he saw him from a distance, but another thing that tells us that the father was waiting for him. And the father is waiting for each son and daughter to live for him, to be in relationship with him. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. He's even calling Christians. He says, you've kept me out. You've turned your back. You've shut the door of relationship to me. I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open. His eyes are upon him. He's waiting for him. Not only he does that, but it says the Father was filled with compassion. I love that. The Father is such a loving God. Filled with compassion. Filled with compassion. Satan tells you that God hates you. Satan tells you God doesn't care about you. Satan tells you that God's not interested in you. Satan tells you that you're too late, you've blown it, forget it. But I want to tell you, this is a God who's filled with compassion for you. But what else does he do, the Father? It says the Father ran. You know, the Son is walking. Why? Because the Son is full of guilt and shame and sin. He is beaten by the world and by the sin of this world. And when you're sinful, guess what? You can't run. You're heavy and down and feel so bad. But what does the Father do? He runs. Now that is so un-Middle Eastern Father. The Father in that culture does not run. It is shameful. It is undignified. You're supposed to be like prim and proper and take your stand and be firm and let him come to you like a dog begging for your forgiveness. Come like a dog and kiss your feet as a father because he's shamed you. He's spat in your face. That's what a normal father would have done back then. Maybe now they do that as well. But not this Father, this God Father. What does he do? He runs. He runs. That's just a mind-blowing picture of the love of God for us and for sinners. It is amazing. It is awesome to know how God loves us. How he cares. That in our filth, in our sin, in our rejection, in our all that we have done toward him, all that guy has done, he runs to him. That is amazing. But not only does he run toward him to show that he loves him, to show that he cares, to show that he wants him. He ran to tell him, come, I love you. I care about you. But what else does the Father do? It says he threw his arms and kissed his son. I'm glad this story is of a Middle Eastern father, not an Aussie father in this instance. An Aussie father said, yeah, mate, good to see you back. See the showers right there, mate. Just clean yourself up and see you later. If he was English, well, nice to have you back. But this father is Middle Eastern. He wraps his arms around his son and he kisses him, I don't know how many times. But how does he do it? Not after the son has had a shower and put on some nice perfume. He's kissed him with all his pigsty. He's wrapped his arms around him with all his filth and dirt. Kissed him and loved him with all that he was tainted with and dirtied with. He's kissing him and hugging him and wrapping his arms around him. Wow! Wow! That's what God does to us. That's what God did to us when we first came to him. We were filthy. And he wrapped his arms around us. And he loved us and kissed us and healed us and changed us. The Bible says, while we were sinners, Jesus loved us and died for us. What a picture of the love of God. God loves us so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish. Verse 21, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And I love this confession. And it is important that we realize that we confess we have sinned, that we're not worthy of God's love. We're not worthy of His forgiveness. We're not worthy of His mercy. We're not worthy of eternal life. But thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your love. When you realize how much God has forgiven you, it should blow your mind. It should cause you to want to love Him for all eternity and serve Him till the last breath you have in you. The Bible says, Jesus said, "He who has been forgiven much loves much." When you realize how much you've been forgiven, you will be bananas for Jesus. The reason some of you are not bananas for Jesus, I don't know what kind of fruit you are, but I want to tell you something. The reason some of you aren't crazy about Jesus, you're not moved about Jesus, you have nothing, no passion for Him, the reason you're dead, some of you, the reason that you go psycho at the footy, excited like it's no, you know, it's life, the reason that you get so excited about a burger or about whatever steak or I don't know what activity, you get super excited. And when it comes to Jesus, you're bored and dead almost to it. The reason is because you don't know. You don't know, or maybe you've not never experienced how much He's forgiven you. You don't know that you are forgiven. You haven't tasted His forgiveness and His love. Because when you've tasted it, it is awesome. It is out of this world. No footy game compares. No girl, no guy, no holiday, no anything compares to the love of God. It is beyond this world. And I hope that you will experience and touch it, because it ruined me at the age of 19. I realized that no nightclub, no guy, no friend, no girl, no anything gave me the joy and the peace and the healing and the love that I needed. And I want to tell you, it's still the same today, 30 years later. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life looking for garbage in this world like the guy went looking for. He was feeding on the garbage of the world, and He did everything and left him empty, starving and famine. Friends, only the love of Jesus can satisfy you. Only the love of Jesus can heal you. He said to Father, He said, "I'm sorry, Dad." He says, "I've sinned against You." And we need to be a people who repent. Say to God, "I'm a rotten sinner. Yes, I am. I've spat in Your face, God. I've sinned against You." We've lost that sense of where sin is sin, and we justify it and we make it nice and we excuse it. Don't you dare. When you sin, say, "God, I'm sorry." And realize this is a holy God you're dealing with. This is no Santa Claus, no old man who's senile and deaf and dumb. He's the most winsome being on the face of the galaxies and the earth, and you name it. When I sin, I need to go to God and say, "I'm sorry, Father. I'm not going to take Your love for granted. When I sin, I'm sin. I want to repent and turn back to You." Verse 22, "But the Father said to His servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe.'" Quickly bring the best robe. Why? "I don't want anyone to see My son's shame. I don't want anyone to see his dirt. I want to cover him quickly." You see, God wants to cover our shame with the blood of Christ. He wants to cover our nakedness. And only our nakedness can be covered through Jesus Christ. And here's the Father, quick, put a robe. The robe of royalty. The robe of sonship. The robe of restoration. The robe that covers our shame and our guilt and our dirt. Quickly, bring that. And put a ring on His finger and sandals on His feet. And I'm not going to explain that anymore. Verse 23, "Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast. Let's celebrate." Oh, this is an excited Father. This is no grumpy old man that when you come back, he doesn't care. This is a Father who goes crazy, who goes banana for the son that returns, who goes bananas when his daughters return, who goes bananas when you stop warming the pews and playing church and religion and you say, "God, I want to love You and I want to know You and I want to live for You." He goes bananas over you. He says, "I want to celebrate. I want to give the fattened calf." That is the most prized possession, friends.
And I want to know you, this story, yes, he gave the fattened calf, but I want you to know that God the Father gave more than a fattened calf. For you were not redeemed with animal sacrifices, it says, or gold or silver, but you were bought with the precious blood of Christ. He was the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for you and me. The least I can do is grab onto it with all my life. Love him, appreciate him. This is what God does. He celebrates in an awesome way by giving the best and only the best. Verse 24, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. What happened? He was dead and is alive. He was lost and now he's found. I want to tell you, when you're not in relationship with Jesus, you are lost. You are lost. When you're not in relationship with Jesus, you are dead and perishing and you're stinking. Just like a garbage, like food that perishes and begins to stink. I want to tell you, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, for without me you can do nothing. You'll perish. We need to realize that it's only in Christ we are found and we are alive. Anything else, we are lost and we are dead. When you really follow Christ, you'll come alive, you'll be found, and there'll be a great celebration in heaven. Quickly moving on, verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near, he heard music and dancing. So he called, verse 26, so he called one of the servants, asked, what's going on? Now, it's a strange thing. His brother, the older son, you think he'd be more mature? You think he'd understand? You think he'd be wiser? What does he do? Now, I know in my culture, in the Middle Eastern culture, I'd go straight to my father. I would not go to the servants. I'd go, Dad, what's happening? But this older son, he goes to the servants. What's happening? Like a stranger. He asks the servant, what's happening here? Which means he was not in a close relationship with his father. And there we see that many today, friends, many young men and women, not only even Christians who call themselves followers of Jesus, young men and women, treat their fathers and mothers with such disrespect, with such shame, and they disregard them, and they treat them like very unrespectfully, unlovingly. And I know so many parents who've given all that they have and their children have turned their back on them. And their other children living in the family, staying with their fathers and mothers, but have no relationship with them, have nothing to do with your parents. You're just staying because you don't have to pay a big rent. You can have a free feed. But you don't love your parents. You don't love your mom and your dad. That's a sad, sad state when you're heartless and loveless to the ones who have given you all that they have. With all their frailty and weakness, this son was loveless, had no relationship with the father. Verse 27, the servants tell him, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf. Because he has him back safe and sound. The servants, they tell him, your brother, not someone else, but your brother has come back. And your father is going crazy celebrating and giving him all, making a big party over him. Isn't that great? He did not kill a little goat. He gave the best. There was joy and music playing. And the friends and the neighbors, I'm sure, were called and they were dancing and celebrating the return of this son. Now, if the father, the neighbors and the friends are celebrating, what should you do as the older brother? In the Australian saying, join the party, correct? Join the party. I would go to my brother, I would kiss him. Even though maybe I was upset that he left, but mate, I haven't seen him for a long time. It's good to see you back, bro. And begin to celebrate. But no, verse 28, it tells us, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. Unbelievable. This guy is angry and he's refusing to go in. You know what that means? Again, the father is disrespected by his older son now. He is shamed in front of the guests. He's having to go out. Please, son, please come in. Don't shame me. Please, your brother was lost. He was dead. Come and celebrate. The neighbors and the friends are doing it. How much more should you be doing that? The father goes out. The father is always going out. And he pleads. He pleads with him. He says, come in. The son is angry. He's very angry. The reaction is so heartless, so selfish. The anger is so unloving, unforgiveness. He's bitter and disrespectful. Friends, Jesus here is showing us that the older brother represents the religious people, whether it be the Pharisees or just people who call themselves religious but are heartless. They turn out to be just as bad as the son who left his father. They are just as sinful. They are just as far away from God. They are just, if not worse, than the younger son who left. They have no relationship with God. They have no love relationship for God. They are heartless, cold, and they are the ones who become angry and bitter. And have you ever dealt with people in church who are bitter and angry and unforgiving, unloving, ungracious, and self-righteous because you stepped out of line about this speck? They exist in many churches, my friends. He refused to go in. So the loving father comes in. And here we see both sons, friends. They were both lost, both rebellious, both sinful. Both did not know the father in a close relationship. Both wanted to do what they wanted. Both were outside God's home. Even though the other one was living with him, he was very far from him. For God... Oh, that father went out and pleaded to come in. Friends, God is not willing that any should perish, whether you're the religious type or whether you're the rebellious type that goes and leaves. God wants you to come in. But look at what he tells his father. Verse 29. After the father pleading, please, son, come in. Please, son, I love you. Come in. Verse 29. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. A barbecue, he's talking about. When he says a young goat, you know, never did a big barbecue for me. Now look at how the older son sees life with the father. How cold-hearted religious people see God. He says, number one, I have been slaving all these years. Do you see your worship of God and your service for God as slavery? Do you see yourself slaving for God? If you are slaving for God, then you really don't have a relationship with God. Because that's not what a son or a daughter should be about. I'm not slaving for God. It is a privilege to know him and to serve him and to be on this adventure. He says, I've been slaving for you like master and slave all these years. Number two, he says, I have never disobeyed your orders. Wow. Isn't that what self-righteous people say? Religious people who depend on their, I've never done anything wrong. I've never committed adultery. I've never did this. Rubbish. We've all have sinned and fallen short of God's requirement. All like sheep have gone astray. He reckons he's fine. What a deception. He says to him, never once did I disobey your order. Then he goes, number three, he says, you never gave me any young goat to celebrate. You never put a party on for me. You never made a barbecue for me. It is interesting. I know from my children, from when they were young, as they get in teenagers now in their 20s, some of them. You give them things throughout the time. And it's funny, many times, you've never given me anything. I love it when they say that. I've never given you anything. You've never done that before. You've never done it. And I'm thinking how easily they forget. How easily they are so unthankful and ungrateful and do not remember all that we've done for them. And how we forget God's goodness. You've never, God, you've never done. And if you really, really see the video, God will show you how good and gracious and kind He has been to you throughout the years. I know that this father would have been so good to this son, but he has forgotten everything because he was jealous and he was bitter and he was angry, and those things blind you and harden your heart. He says, no, you've not given me anything. Verse 31. My son, how does the father respond to him? My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. I want to tell you, when you are in relationship with God and walking in that relationship with God, your Father, you have everything. Even though in this world you might not have much, but with God, you have everything. You are the richest person on the face of the planet. I want to tell you that to be rich is to have God. To be rich is to walk with God. It is not just some theological, cerebral knowledge in here, friends, I'm talking about. I'm talking about a real relationship with God. And unless you have that relationship, you need to really cry out to God for it. You need to really seek a relationship with God. Because when you have that relationship, it is fulfilling and satisfying. It is real. It is real. It feeds you. It nourishes you. It gives you something that no one else can give. My son, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. And you will know the presence of God in your life. Verse 32, but we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he is found. Friends, I finish with this. If you look closely, as I said, the older son is also dead and lost. The thing is that the younger brother is now alive and is found. But the sad thing is that the older brother is still dead, lost, religious, refusing to humble himself and say, Father, I'm sorry. I too have sinned. I'm sorry for my attitude. I'm far from you too. Would you forgive me? But it's sad that the story ends with him outside. I hope that none of you are outside the relationship with God. But if you are, I want to ask you tonight. I want to call you tonight. God wants you to come. Come to Him. God is calling you tonight to commit your life to Him, to surrender your life to Him. And come and confess your sins and say, God, I want to be your daughter. I want to be your son. Forgive me. I don't want to live in the pigsty of pornography. I don't want to live in the pigsty of religiosity. I don't want to live in the pigsty of worshipping myself, of doing my own thing and keeping you far. I don't want to turn my back on you. I want to come to you. Friends, I call you tonight. If you're hearing me, I believe God is calling you. I believe the Spirit of God is calling you, speaking to you tonight. Don't harden your heart. Don't say no. Don't make any excuses. You don't know when your life will be cut out. I encourage you tonight, through the love of God that is shown in that story, through the love of Jesus on the cross, Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. You who believe in me, you will have life and life to the full. Tonight, answer God's call. Answer the Father's call to you, and don't stay outside, because you never know where it will remain for all eternity. Would you pray with me? if you really sense God spoke to you tonight and you want to give your life to God, you might be someone, yes, you are far, and you say, I want to come to God. Yes, I've been in church, yes, all, but I'm far, and I want to come back to my Heavenly Father. If that's you tonight, I want to ask you to pray a little prayer in your heart. If you may be religious, you sing the songs and you read your Bible, but you know that you're hard-hearted, you're bitter, you're angry, and you're far from God too. And that speaks to you that God has shown you that that's you. Humble yourself. Don't let pride, don't let Satan deceive you. Humble yourself tonight. Say, God, I want to come back to you tonight. If that's you, please come to God tonight. Respond to His Spirit, to His Word. Pray this prayer in your heart after me and really mean it. And if you do, I believe the Holy Spirit will make it real to you. And He'll touch you right there where you are tonight and change your life. Pray this prayer with me, a prayer of surrender to Jesus Christ. Pray after me. Father God, thank you that you love me. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me on the cross and paid for all my sins. Father, forgive me. I have sinned against you. I have turned my back on you. Please forgive me for all my sins. I surrender my life to you tonight. I commit to following you with your help all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for your precious blood that cleanses me from all sin. Help me to live for you from this night, all the days of my life. Fill me with your Spirit in Jesus' name.